Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me, please, to the book of Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, the last chapter, the book of Thessalonians. Appreciate you being here tonight in the house of God. I pray the Lord will just help us tonight for a little while. I had been preaching, I guess before Christmas, some on this thought, the importance of the grace of God. And where that was birthed in my heart was verse 16, 17, and 18 in 2 Thessalonians. The Apostle Paul said, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." The Bible said the salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. We've been looking at the last chapter in the epistles of the Apostle Paul and trying to magnify the importance of the grace of God. I'd like to do that tonight in this chapter, and then, God willing, maybe Sunday night, we'll head over to 1 Timothy, the last chapter there, and see what the Lord would say to us. I haven't looked at it yet. I just take them one at a time. Brother Jason and I were discussing Saturday, riding over to Coburn, that we have a little bit of one thing in common, and it's not necessarily a good thing. I was just confessing to him that I don't comprehend real well. I can read something and it escapes me, Brother Steve, just about as quick as I read it. Some people can read something and tell you details about it weeks later. I had a person ask me one time, "How in the world do you preach?" I told him, "One message at a time. That's how I preach. One message at a time." So tonight my heart's right here. I think I might have a little bit of direction for Sunday morning, but I'm not sure. We'll wrestle and see what the Lord wants for that. I wrestled over last Sunday morning for 3 days. But I want to mind Him. I don't know no other way. I don't want to be standing here by myself. Importance of the grace of God. Paul said in verse number 1 of chapter number 3, let me get started and see if we can get through this tonight. The first thing he said is, "Finally, brethren, pray for us." This is really not part of the message, but this is kind of a little introduction to the message. Paul begins this chapter asking for prayer. I don't know in my life that I've ever really studied this. I've studied the prayers, Brother Steve, of the Apostle Paul for the church, for Timothy, for Titus, for different individuals. But I didn't really pick up on how many times in the Word of God that Paul pleads or requests the prayers of God's people. Brother Ralph, the songwriter, got it right when he said, "I need the prayers of those I love." Honey, we need each other's prayers. Amen. And I'll give you just a couple of instances of that tonight. This is just my way of introduction. Look at Romans chapter 15 for just a moment. We'll run through these and then try to get right into the message. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 30, Paul said, "Now I beseech you," and you know that word has with it the connotation of begging. It's not just asking. I can remember, Miss Eve, I don't know if you ever heard my grandpa pray much, but he didn't really say the word beg. It came out more like bag. Not B-A-G, but it kind of a in-between beg and bag. But he would say this when he was praying, Brother Jason, "Lord, we beg you." He was begging God to do something. "I'll ask you something.
When's the last time you begged God to do something? When's the last time you begged God to save somebody? When's the last time you begged God to pour His Holy Ghost Spirit out on you? When's the last time you begged God to open the Scripture to you and let you see something? God's been helping me. I've been bowing my head and saying, Lord, open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. I'm going to tell you something tonight. He's in the eye-opening business. He can help you see things, beloved, that you'll never see on your own. Never see in a commentary. You never see. God will help you. I want to remind you, He wrote the book. I tell you, if you get real close to the author, honey, He can show you some things. Amen. Speak to your heart. He said, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Ain't that good? You think about that. He said, for Jesus' sake, pray for me. For the Holy Ghost's sake, the love of the Spirit, pray for me. He said, would you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me? I'll tell you something right now. It wouldn't have took much at all to recognize if you got around the Apostle Paul that God had His hand on him. Amen? If you want to know one of the reasons God had His hand on him, he was humble. He took all that education and all of that sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, put it up in a pile and said, I count it but dung that I might know Christ. Amen. And he was able to say to God's people, I need your prayers. I need your prayers. I believe that one of the things that kept Paul going on his missionary journeys, one of the things that kept him going when he was in jail, one of the things that kept him going when he was tied to that whipping post and they was beating him to a pulp was knowing that out yonder somewhere was God's people praying for him. Look at 2 Corinthians with me a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. And the Bible said in verse number 11, ye also helping together, you know, the apostle needed help. Brother Steve was talking about the gifts God gives a pastor or an evangelist or a teacher. And I don't believe we have apostles in these days. Amen. I think that's where a lot of doctrine gets tripped up. Amen. I'm not interested in a box full of rattlesnakes. Amen. To tempt the Lord, my God. And I'll tell you this. If I had the power that Peter had, I've been with some loved ones and dear friends. I'd have just touched them and raised them up in a heartbeat. Amen. The Bible said here, you also, well, I want you to see this, helping together by prayer. Paul was one that realized that God's people praying for him was important and that it would be a big help to him along the way. I can tell you this tonight. We ain't going to get to the message. We'll be doing good to get through the introduction, okay? That'd be all right, amen. We'll get to the message later. But I'm telling you, this is good stuff right here. If we leave here tonight and y'all are praying for us and praying one for another and begging God to do something, amen, in your life, begging God to do something, I'm going to tell you this. It's time to beg God to do something in our country. Amen. They're fighting like cats and dogs while we're going to hell in a handbasket. We need God to help us. Amen. He said here, yea, also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. That's a blessing tonight. Look at Ephesians tonight. Over here we have the whole armor of God. I remember one time when I was first introduced, I wasn't even saved yet.
to the phrase, the armor of God. And I heard a man speak about it or preach about it. And when I got home, Brother Gary, I was doing like you tried to do. I was trying to mull it over and chew on it some more. And I knew that the man had 7 points in his message. And I got home and I couldn't figure it out. There were 7 parts to the armor of God. Look at it with me. Let's start reading here. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How many believes the devil's turning the heat up? You better believe he is. Remember what we said Sunday, he's trying his best to stop up the whale. Amen. Look what the Bible said here. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Then he said, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That'd be one, right? We're looking at the pieces of armor. And then he said, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but that'd be two. And then having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That'd be three. Taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. That'd be four. Take the helmet of salvation. That'd be five. And the sword of the Spirit. That'd be six, which is the Word of God. And then the Word of God said in verse number 18, this is left off. Praying always with all supplication and prayer. And I know I love to see these three words. Y'all remember Brother John teaching a Sunday school lesson one time. He said, there's times when you pray, and there's times when you pray. How many remembers him saying something like that? How many knows what he's talking about? I'm going to tell you what he's talking about. It's explained right here in these three words. In the Spirit. If we'd be honest tonight, there's times we bow our head and we pray, and we don't know if it's going any higher than the ceiling, but there's other times, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost shows up in that prayer life, and you know, honey, you done went and stepped into the Holy of Holies with a holy God, and he's hearing and answering your prayer. The Bible said praying with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And as long as I've been studying this passage of Scripture, I didn't put it with verse 19. Look at verse 19. And for me, if you look at that in the way that it's written, Paul is talking about praying. It's part of the armor of God. Yes, it is. But he said, and for me. And for me. I'll tell you this tonight. I need that and for me. And for me. Sister Donna said today, thank you for praying for me. I ain't got no better sense than when the Lord puts something on my heart, make that call or send that text. Because I realize he didn't put it on my heart for no reason. Amen. And for me. How many have ever had that blessing of somebody calling or somebody sending a card or somebody sending a text and it just blessed you to know they're praying for you? I got through preaching last Sunday night. I noticed Brother Adam, he went over there to the box of tissues, and I didn't know what was going on. But when Steve preached Sunday night, I'm sorry, I got through with what I said after Brother Steve preached Sunday night. You know what I'm talking about. About how that I believe God showed me in the Scripture that on that first step, Brother Adam said to me at the back door, he said, I made the first step and I floated to the altar. I never heard it like that before. But he said, I floated to the altar. It was blessing him, going back and reminiscing how the Father, that Father, met him right there and fell on him and kissed him. Amen. Saved him by the good grace of God. Paul said, and for me, watch this, that utterance may be given to me. Paul said, I need God to give it to me, that I may open my mouth
Boy, we need some more of that. We got too many mealy-mouthed preachers in this world. They don't have a spine. I want to check some of them and see if they ain't got lace sewed on their underwear. Amen. I'm telling you, buddy, you don't need to know what somebody thinks. You need to know what the Word of God says. And God's men are not afraid, as long as this book's got their back, to stand up and tell you. Paul said, pray for me, that utterance might be given to me, and that I may open my mouth boldly. Now you understand, in Paul's day, when you got up and say, Jesus rose again, he died and was buried and rose again, just preaching that simple gospel message in Paul's day, beloved, that wasn't popular, amen. Yes, there was people getting saved everywhere, but I'm telling you, them Pharisees and them Sadducees, they stirred up, amen. They didn't want to hear about this Jesus. May it open my mouth boldly, that to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly. I love these words as I ought to speak. May God help us to speak as we ought to speak. Amen. One of the things that really blessed me last night in Brother Eddie's funeral, the man that preached his funeral last night, Brother Eddie was very instrumental at the Eastman in pointing him to Jesus. You talk about a blessing. That's a blessing. They started a prayer meeting at the Eastman. I'll say this. What I know about the Eastman, there needs to be a prayer meeting.
Amen.
And there needs to be a prayer meeting everywhere. Amen. But thank God, a man left a testimony. He was able to speak boldly for the Lord Jesus and make known the gospel to a sinner man and speak as he ought to speak. Brother Mickey said last night, he said that when Brother Eddie was put into that part of the company or that part of the building, so to speak, it was hot. And it was nasty. He said, Brother Eddie began to think, what am I doing over here? What am I doing over here? And said it wasn't long and he realized. He said the guys, they wasn't living for God. No doubt they was telling them old jokes. Hard to tell what they was looking at over there. Amen. Brother Eddie said it wasn't long. I realized God sent me over here to help a sinner to find Jesus. I think that's a blessing, buddy. Amen. That Jesus is just as real on the job as he is at church. Just as real at the kitchen table as he is at the Lord's table. Somebody say amen right there. Just as real. Paul understood the need for prayer. Look at Philippians for just a moment. Chapter 1, verse number 19. I had no idea this was going to go this way tonight, but it's okay. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 19. Paul said to the church of Philippi, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. Ain't that good? Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I wonder tonight, when we get to heaven, I know we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. We that are saved, the lost will stand at the great white throne judgment. But I wonder, Brother Gary, if God wouldn't show us all the things he wanted us to have that we didn't ask for. And when I say things that he wanted us to have, that's not necessarily the things of this world or the substance, so to speak. but the blessings. You see, this Bible does say you have not because you ask not. Is that in the Scripture? He said, ask, and it shall be given unto you. One of the things I'm reminded often of is in prayer is, God, I can't tell you anything that you don't already know. The Word of God said He knows what we need even before we ask. But to ask, I believe, and this kind of turned into a little bit of a lesson on prayer, but I believe that those three words, in the Spirit, if a person's in the Spirit, they're never asking for anything that's contrary to the will of God. If they're praying in the Spirit. One thing I've often said, and I believe it to be true, you never have to wonder if you're praying in the will of God when you're praying for a sinner. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The McCameys sang a song years ago. Somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They sacrificed their time. They fell down on their knees and prayed for me. They had no doubt that God could bring me out, that He could change my life and set me free. I'm so glad that someone prayed for me. Many of you in the church have heard this, and I'm going to tell it again because there's some here tonight that have not heard it. When I got saved, 30 days later, God called me to preach. I've heard men talk about running from the call and all of that, and that's good. That's what happened. That's part of their testimony. My testimony is I went down between two pews praying for America and come up preaching. And I've been preaching ever since. I know what God did down there between those two pews. He put His hand on me, trusted me with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Brother Ralph, I can remember it like it was yesterday. My grandpa put his arm around me. When God called grandpa to preach, he couldn't read, Brother Jason. He had been saved, and my grandmother read him the Bible every morning, sitting at the kitchen table. And God got to dealing with him. He was praying out in the corn crib. And he said, God, if I'm going to preach, you're going to have to teach me how to read. God taught him how to read. When I was a teenager, I heard him say Noe, and I thought he was ignorant. Till I got saved, went to read the Bible for myself, and realized Noah's Noah, and Noah's Noe. This depends on where you're reading at. Jeremiah's Jeremiah, but Jeremiah's Jeremy. Isaiah's Isaiah, but Isaiah's Esaias. It's right there in the Scripture. My grandpa put his arm around me. He said, son, I've prayed for years that God would call one of my boys to preach. He said he never done it, but he got my grandson. He said, that's just as good. He took me down in a cellar. It was an old mining house that had been moved. Has anybody ever seen a house jacked up with timbers and put on wheels and moved from one town to another? Well, that's the way this house was moved. It was moved from a mining camp to Glade Spring, Virginia. And he took me down in the basement. Boy, you had to duck. The only way you wouldn't have had to duck if you had been about as tall as Justin. Aggravating you tonight, brother. Brother Gary, he always told me his short wheelbase, didn't you, brother? You got something you need done close to the ground, Brother Gary, get it. Daddy worked with a man named Elmer. Brother Gary, he told him one day, he said, you're the only man I've ever seen in my life had to have a stepladder to nail baseboard. That bad, ain't it? My grandpa took me down in that cellar. He had to duck down and get down in that cellar. And he showed me a place on the floor, dirt floor. He showed me a place. Brother Jason, I don't know how you could pack dirt any tighter. It just is slick. You say, what happened? I'll tell you two things. Tears and snot. As he called on God, prayed for his youngins, prayed for his grand youngins, prayed for his great grand youngins. When I come in, Glade Spring, we lived in Baltimore. When I come in, my hair was down about right there. My grandpa never said a thing about my hair. He knew what the problem was. It wasn't my hair, it's my heart. And I'll tell you something right now. Paul is saying here, I need those prayers, the prayers of God's people. Look with me quickly at 1 Thessalonians 5:25. I think I can quote that one. He says, brethren, pray for us. Now you know why I can quote it. But you ought to memorize that verse. Brethren, pray for us. Those are the prayers that God's hearing, Brother Justin, is the prayers of God's people. The brethren, pray for us. And then go to the book of Philemon with me, please, and I'm done tonight. Shoo-wee, I didn't know it was going to go like this. But there it is. God wants us to pray. Where's that book at? I lost it. Right there after Titus, ain't it? Philemon, you get there, you'll know what chapter. Look at verse number 22. Here's what he said. But with all, he's talking to his buddy now. Philemon is a good friend of Paul. You remember Onesimus, he had wrote the letter. Onesimus stole from Philemon. It looks to me like, I can't explain it any other way except that he ended up in jail down in Rome with Paul. Paul led him to Jesus, wrote a letter back to Philemon, and that's what we're reading. Said, if he owes you anything, put that on my account. But look what he said in verse 22. He said, but withal, prepare me a lodging, for I trust. Paul's in jail. This is one of his prison epistles. I trust that through your, what's the next word? Through your prayers, I shall be given unto you. I just looked across the page where he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Be with your spirit, amen. The importance of the grace of God. I don't know what you would call this one tonight. Maybe, Brother Richard, just put down I need the prayers of God's people. The Apostle Paul. Maybe if you ask him, Brother Jason, what I've been asked down through the years, maybe his answer would be much the same. Why does God bless you the way he does? Paul might say, you wouldn't believe the people that are praying for me. Your mamma's praying for me, brother. She loves me, and I love her. It's a blessing, ain't it? Amen. I've run into men before, and Brother Steve, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, that will look at you, and you know they're not lying, and they're not even joking about it. Brother Vinoy, I pray for you every day. Do you know how humbling that is? That somebody would take the time out of their every day, Brother Mike, to call your name in prayer. I don't know this. I don't think I'd be going out on much of a limb. But I would just about guarantee you, Brother Jason, in Asia Minor, there was a bunch of people that called Paul's name every day.
in prayer. How many's glad you come tonight?